Welcome to the Ether. Today is Saturday, August 13th, 2022. Today on the Ether, about the last hour or so of the Cosmos Late Night Whispers hosted by Mayor Ed Dantes. Let's take a listen.
Yeah, from my understanding is that it will become deflationary. It could possibly become more deflationary. I mean, right now with proof of work, you know, it's being mined. So there's not going to be as much supply, possibly, once they go to proof of stake. So there's some different. I tend to listen to everything on YouTube with a grain of salt. Like, it's like, yeah, some people are saying stuff on YouTube, but it's like, are they just trying to pump up the whole market? You know, some of the bigger influencers. You know, I don't know. You know, but it's like. It'll be interesting. You know, like all of what 85% of DeFi is 90% is on Ethereum. So I don't think it's changing. The gas fees are not going to change much at all. The structure is, yeah, it's going to proof of stake, but there's going to be less supply from what I understand.
Yeah, at the end of the day, Ethereum is going to be here forever. So I will always recommend people. To always have a little bit of Ethereum, not financial advice, but like always gotta have a little bit of ETH just in case.
Because absolutely, send ETH to 2500 post haste. I'm in a 10x leverage long right now. Have been for about an hour. Send it.
Yeah, because there's so many people working on ETH right now. It's I don't know. I feel like. The chain gonna get not the layer one gonna get faster, like with layer two and all that. I feel there's gonna be an improvement in the long run. So I feel like too many people are hating on it, but
I always hate on it. I never hold ETH. I never hold Bitcoin. I literally just leverage trade them to make a little bit of money and then leave.
Yeah, no, there's other way to make more money than just buy ETH, like.
But, oh yeah, it's I don't know.
I mean, if it's a trade that you see is, you know, if it's got a strong trajectory to a pretty solid trade, then yeah, if you can make a couple, you know, $500 or $1,000 in 2 weeks, then yeah, why not? You know.
Yeah, I generally like I'll just kind of like watch the market and I normally just like spot trade on like DEXs or whatever, but I'm just sick of like. Just sick of not being able to do like buy and sell orders at like decent volume. So I was just like, stuff it. I just like went over to buy a bit, I think it was, and just opened up a trade there because I was just like, whatever. I've got a little bit of spare money at the moment. Might as well go and have a little bit of fun, like tight stop loss. So I'm not really going to lose much money if I do. If the trade does go south, then have a bit of fun.
Yeah.
There's not a lot happening in the DeFi land at the moment. I think all the tokens have kind of already had a decent pump there. There's, like from a spot perspective, like you're not really going to get many gains after, you know, Juno is pretty much at resistance at like 6.2 to 6.5. Atoms at like $12 and holding there for like the last couple of days. So they're all kind of just waiting for the next move. So I was like, I might as well just go and see if I can chase a little bit of profit, you know, try and get my daily 10, 20% on a short leverage trade, you know?
Yeah, I agree with they've made their moves. I mean, with Juno going from like 3 to 6, that it's done its thing. Yeah, and Adam kind of moves really slow unless everything else is kind of pumping. But yeah, hey Larry, you got anything going on? How you doing, Larry?
Hey guys, what's up? Just looking at the charts right now. I'm actually in a short position, and I don't have that much conviction in it. So we'll see if I hold this. But
so
yeah,
I'm shorting. Sorry,
I'm just shorting Adam just to hedge my exposure.
Yeah,
it was looking. It was kind of topping out some resistance at 12, but honestly, it's all going to be ETH is just carrying the market up. So it really just matters what ETH is going to do. So I'm just watching ETH chart.
Yeah, that's pretty much like that's what I was like. I honestly think like ETH got like another leg up. I don't think there's a lot of resistance until like, you know, maybe 2100 or something like that from kind of what I was looking at. I didn't look in too much detail, to be personally honest. Let me just quickly open up my trading view on my phone again.
What platform do you guys use for like leverage?
What, sorry?
What platform do you use for leverage? Like trading?
I use Bybit.
Bybit.
I would be, yeah, I would be really careful using leverage. I really only use leverage because it allows me to short, but it can be a dangerous game. I would definitely try like spot trading first and just kind of
the system. I try leverage one and I got wrecked and I'm not doing it anymore.
If you do leverage, you need to like be an experienced trader. And make sure you have like a tight stop loss that you'd be willing to use, and obviously like don't use all of your position. I would use like I use like 30% of my position in a leverage trade. I have like a 10% stop loss. Use usually like 5 to 10% stop loss, and then if it does go south, I can always like re-enter like my position through cross because I always use cross, not isolated for the most part, and then. Yeah, you can kind of manage it that way.
Yeah, if you are looking for a platform, though, Bybit is a pretty good one. That's what I use. They don't require KYC, so it's pretty nice. It's pretty good user experience.
Yeah, so I haven't touched leverage, and I'm not planning on doing that anytime soon. I'm more like a 1 to 2 month investor.
I know you guys were talking about ETH here a little bit. I am interested in ETH after the merge here, because if it's successful, ETH is going to be kind of like a deflationary tokenomics. So definitely very prime for pumpamentals there.
Yeah, sorry, I was just quickly looking at the chart. Yeah, we're kind of sitting above that 1950-ish resistance that I was looking at on the daily. We haven't really retested that yet, so maybe we like come back down and retest it, perhaps, that kind of 1900-ish first. But like so far, it's looking pretty positive. Like the next kind of resistance that I see on the daily is like that kind of 2500 mark. I don't think it'll just like run straight there. But hey, like volume's looking pretty good on the daily. Like we've had some pretty big moves of like, 300. So maybe leading into tomorrow, like the weekend ending, could be pretty positive.
Yeah. As far as like the macro and the stock market, I don't think there's any big news coming out.
That was a big factor too. Like there's no FUD until like the 21st of September, I think.
Yeah. As far as like a lot of the earnings report from the big tech companies, they already reported earnings for Q2. So, I don't know if there's that much big news coming out as far as traditional markets.
Yeah, so we also too in crypto just like got completely wrecked through like 3AC and the Luna blow up. So these things were like incredibly oversold, even more so than like stocks. So yeah, they definitely have some room to run. But like equities are approaching resistance too. They've had pretty nice rally. I'm actually more open to potentially the bottom being in. I think we could definitely go lower from here. But I can't see anyone. Like imagine Juno back at like $2. Like no one's gonna sell. So I think a lot of these coins, we probably saw the lowest price. Even if we do go lower, I don't think it would be lower than we saw a couple months ago.
Yeah.
There you go. Curve ball. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I think we've spoken about this before, man. Curve ball. The China housing market collapses. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Falls to the floor. Trillions of dollars wiped off the Chinese banking industry. Do you think we see lower lows?
Yeah, 100%. If stuff like Black Swan like that happens, and if equities are making a new low, then crypto's for sure gonna go lower. But I'm just going to hope for the best. I do still have a little bit of stables, but we'll see if I end up deploying them.
Yeah,
I think we've got a nice run here first, and then, you know, then a collapse.
Yeah, the question is what happens after the merge, and then I think China is the wild card right now, because some people aren't even paying attention, but like I think Rama, you said you were paying attention a little bit, and if there's some banking issues, some serious banking issues going on in China right now, they have a lot of debt problems, a lot more worse than we do, and I think Rama, you were explaining this to me. They kind of run things siloed in different provinces. It's kind of different than some other countries, and I'm sure the way things are in Beijing, they might not bail out like a province or a bank all the way on, you know, 2,000 miles away. So if they let that bank default or let that bank fall, it could be a cascading effect. And so I think that's the big wild card right now. It's like, aside from that one guy, Kyle Bass, that he does a lot of commentary on China. It'd be good to find out some good commentaries or good news outlets that, like, what is really happening with the banking system over there.
Yeah, I think for me, like, the biggest thing is, like, watching, like, you see a lot of you know, Twitter accounts, and, you know, believe Twitter as much as you want, but, like, they look like pretty real raw video of, like, people in the streets protesting, and when that sort of stuff, you know, leaks out of China onto Twitter, you know, consistently, I think that definitely kind of hints towards a larger play. Like, when you see, like, one or two videos that are exactly the same posted all over social media, then it's like, oh, okay, this is probably just, like, doctored or manufactured or old. Like, you're seeing, like, multiple accounts of, like, people lining up at banks or, like, you know, struggling to get COVID tests, and because they have to get tested because they've been red flagged. You know, multiple accounts and multiple videos, for me, it kind of, you know, leads towards something bad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just with it being so kind of walled off, and the CCP kind of clamps down on some of the stuff coming out or the media, it's kind of hard to tell. But it's like, you know, like I said, it's sooner or later, information is going to get out. If something big is really happening, like, there are ways. I'm sure a lot of Chinese use VPNs, and I know that they have ways of getting real news out of there. So yeah, it'll be interesting.
I don't even know what's going on in the China situation. I'm mostly just a technical trader, because I have no edge in, like, macro or anything like that. But I am paying a little bit of attention to the Fed, and they're kind of changing their tone. They're kind of realizing that the economy is in a recession, and Americans are really struggling, like, to pay their expenses and stuff, like consumer credits at an all-time high. People are just using their credit cards to finance everything. And so as the year progresses, people are going to feel that even more and more. So I think they're going to struggle to keep raising rates, and that's why they've already started to I mean, they're still raising rates, but they're not increasing the rate. And so the market's kind of reacting positively to that.
Yeah. Hey, Larry, I also wanted to ask you, what do you think about this big legislative pass bill that they're getting ready to pass in Congress? They're calling it the Inflation Reduction Act, but it's kind of like the opposite. They're going to spend $600 billion. Like, it's really weird. The way they label these bills in U.S. politics, it's almost asinine the way they do it, because it's like, it's the exact opposite of what they label the thing. But if anyone else wants to come up to talk, just request. And Terra Spaces, if you want to come up to talk, I'd like to hear some of the stuff going on with you, man. If you want, no pressure. But yeah, Larry, this Inflation Reduction Bill that they're trying to pass.
I heard about this. I didn't actually look into it all, like what the spending was going towards, but I totally agree. I just thought that was, like, totally ass backwards. Like, we're spending millions to fight inflation. It seemed pretty funny, but I will have to look into that.
It's more like billions. And I think it's a lot of handouts to, like, solar, and it has to do, like, with natural gas. Oh, and it's also that package that they're going to increase the Internal Revenue Service and hire like 80,000 IRS agents. It's a big, I guess they're giving like $50 billion to the IRS to hire people.
Yeah. The thing is, the IRS agents are just concerned with, like, getting more tax revenue from the middle class. Real quick, also, Rarmer, I'm closing my Adam short. ETH does look like it just wants to pop up, and I don't want to be exposed in a short, so I'm just going to sit flat.
All right.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. I was like, yep, cool. It's turning green for now.
That's breaking news. Breaking news, everyone. Larry is closing his short position. Breaking news.
Yeah, the market can just fly now. I just closed my billion-dollar short, so the market can move up.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else wants to come up, just hit me with a request. If not, we can talk Ethereum. We can talk NFTs. We can talk anything you guys want to talk about.
We talk how Jack Zamplin absolutely shit on the Polkadot ecosystem earlier.
I was reading that thread. I was reading that thread, and it was something about Solana has 150 paid.
Was it Solana? Sorry, not Polkadot.
But was it, there was something in the tweet there about Solana? But the original post was a Solana person or a Polkadot person. And they were talking about something about keeping talent and blah, 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 and all that, right? That was the original post. Let me go back. I can post it up the top.
Yeah, and how our ecosystem is, like, so good with minimal full-time developers and having a great time over here. And they need 150 full-time devs on one chain. So it's kind of just, like, screams how good we've built, the Cosmos SDK and the ecosystem, right? I just thought that was super interesting. It's just like openly just being like, yo, we've done all this. Like Juno's built with zero full-time employees. It's way better than what you've got now. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, I love that so much.
Yeah, it was pretty. And the guy tried to come back a little bit, but I'm posting the original tweet, and then I'm gonna post Jack's response.
250 full-time employees on LinkedIn. Like, Ava Labs, 150 full-time employees on LinkedIn. You know how much money that is? You know how much one engineer costs in blockchain? I'm talking like 150,000 each, right?
And they pay minimum. Like a lot of these people with like, they give them token allocations too. And then that just ends up being sell pressure on retail. That really sucks.
Yeah, like, you know, these 150 at say 150K each, like, you're immediately just talking, like, if my math's correct, right? Like 15 mil a year of like token sales that you need to be able to justify or like revenue to bring in to sustain that, like every year. Like, are you for real? That's so much money. So much money.
Yeah, I love to see some of the devs get it, not afraid to flex the muscle a little bit, or how should I put it? I like to see when the devs are willing to promote Cosmos and continue to say, hey, you know, we've got a lot going on over here. Oh, and by the way, you know, DYDX is going to start building on our SDK, right?
With like five employees, and they will absolutely nail it. Yeah, I think it just kind of speaks like from a blockchain perspective, you don't need many employees. Like if you want to go and hire like a few marketing people, you can. But like, you know, fundamentally, you don't need that many. I think Say is a great example. I think they're running like 15, 20. And I think that's, you know, probably a little bit overkill. But hey, like, you know, I'm sure they're not like all full time. They're probably like contractor style to get the chain up and then like some marketing people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. Like, you know, Juno's getting a lot done, but it's like, I still, aside from, you know, what is it, Jake? I don't really know all the big heavy hitters on the core team, or what do they call it? Core.
Yeah, there's core one and core two. If you look in the docs,
there's just like C root now. I think
C root. Like, okay.
Yeah, so there used to be Core 1, Core 2. Sorry to interrupt, Larry. Core 1, Core 2. I love that. It was like very easy to explain. Like Core 1 built a blockchain. Core 2 was like the newer additions and the people around it. It's now been rebranded to like C root. And then I think that's like Core 1. Like the C root is Core 1. And then what is now coming will be like all of the sub DAOs. So there'll be like the marketing DAO, the security DAO, Juno DAO. etc. And I think that's like the model that they're going to go with. And then anyone in those DAOs will be like considered two, quote unquote, because they'll be part of the multi-sigs. But they'll just be like part of, you know, the sub DAOs and stuff. So I think that's the new model, which makes sense with like DAO being utilized and that sort of stuff.
Yeah. I replied on Crypto Cito when he put out the post that he's going to be interviewing Jake. And I replied on there, you know, the question about, hey, what's going on with JunoSwap? You know, does it need some more attention? And CRoot actually replied to my post. I'm like, who the heck is this? I don't even know who you guys
are.
That's Lobo. Okay.
Yeah, it's Wolf Contract. He pretty much exclusively runs that account.
Okay, cool. And it's like all these guys are anonymous, and it's, you know, I mean, I'm more involved with Juno now just because like I've been paying more attention to it with just
like the only people that are anonymous is Wolf Contract and Roller Coaster Guy. I'm fairly sure the rest of Core One are all docs. So like,
okay. Yeah, and that doesn't matter to me. You know, it's like, I don't need to know their personal name and all that stuff. Like, you know, but it's like, unless you really kind of follow their Twitter feeds and you're paying attention, it takes a while to get to know all the different, Twitter handles. So, yeah.
I was in a space today with some other traders and some people in like the Ethereum ecosystem, and they're all starting to get interested in the Cosmos. And one of their biggest criticisms was there's no like central figurehead on like social media that everyone can like gather behind and then look towards. And I think that's actually kind of like a feature of Cosmos. There's not like a single authority that we all like abide to, and everyone kind of, I know it seems like sometimes there's a lot of arguments, but I feel like it's a lot of constructive criticism.
I think that's like the best part about it, right? Is like I keep getting tagged in, you know, posts with people being like, "Hey, who should we follow in the Cosmos ecosystem?" Or like, there's one guy the other day, he had like a couple of thousand followers, and he's like, did this massive write up on Cosmos, and then it's just like, "Hey, like, what's going on? Like, why is my engagement so low? Does this Cosmos community not exist? You know, do I need to break through the algorithm or whatever?" And I was like, and then people were like, you know, he's like, "Hey, you like tagged some people that I should follow." And I was like, well, you know, you can't just post something and then expect that you get engagement from the community. Like, you need to actively go in and start, like, following people and engaging and interacting with people and then do your write-up, right? But, yeah, I'm definitely seeing it a lot more, like, a lot of people coming out and being like, hey, I want to get involved in Cosmos. Like, who should I follow? There are a lot of .eth names and all that sort of stuff.
It's funny because a lot of them, they come in and right away they dismiss Adam, and a lot of them are interested in like Celestia. I have no clue why that's like a name they're really interested in, but I just explained to them like you need to stake Adam, stake Judo and these other ecosystem tokens and participate in governance and bide your time and you will get rewarded with allocations, and none of them want to hear that. They just want short term, they just want to ape something. So it's really interesting to see.
Yeah, I'm glad there's interest, but I also agree. I'm glad there's not one prominent, you know, main personality. We know how that can go wrong. And I mean, it does it have its benefits sometimes? Yeah. But it's you know, it's kind of like I was saying earlier. I think, you know, when the devs want to speak up, they will, you know, and they've all kind of got their own little projects going on, and some of them more than one. I mean, Jay-Z, he's got a lot of projects going on. He's very active in Juno. You know, Sonny's got his thing going on, but he's a busy guy, and he's involved a lot with a lot of other stuff. And Zachy's doing his thing, and you know, they're all doing their own thing, and it's like that's what makes Cosmos so good, that there was such a large talent pool that they all decided to build their own stuff, you know, and or their own projects and build their own teams around them. I really kind of I wish I knew more about Polkadot, because I understand that whole Kusama thing was their beta chain, but it just seems like Kusama gets so much more hype, and from what I understand, it has more activity on it. You know, like I don't understand the whole Polkadot Kusama thing. Like, can anyone give me like the two
I never really dove into the DOT ecosystem. I was kind of put off by the whole like auction thing, and it just seemed really like marketed and retail heavy and VCs. And yeah, it just really was never of interest to me, but I hope I'm not doing myself a disservice, but I've just kind of focused on Cosmos solely for interoperability.
Yeah. There's a gaming project called Engine that is really involved with NFTs and gaming, and they were going to launch a Polkadot parachain called, I think it's Eternity, or I can't remember the name of it, but I remember when they did that, to get the tokens, it was really, really hard to get in on the first round of tokens for the Engine's second, you know, it was just like the parachain, the whole parachain thing. And I mean, I spent a little bit of time studying it, but I'm still curious about the whole Kusama thing, you know? So I don't know. Yeah. It's interesting. The whole Polkadot, it's, you know, I know, what's the guy's name? Is it, Gavin Woods?
You know, yep, that's him. He's from ETH. Yep.
Yeah. He was on the ETH core team with, Charles and Vitalik. But you know, I don't like that one person to be the head speaker, the head figurehead, because it's like, you know, I've heard, you know, Gavin Woods says something, you know, and it's like they all like hang on every word he says, you know, and it's like, that's not cool. That's not good. I mean, I don't know. Anybody else want to come up and talk? Hit me with the request. Just chat.
Hey, I kind of like what we currently have, right? Like where we have multiple different figureheads across, you know, multiple chains. They're all involved in like Cosmos development in some way or another, and then diverged off to build their own thing. I think, you know, having, you know, Juno, for example, we've got like, you know, a few of the core one guys, Cosmos, we've got like, you know, Jack, Zaki, Jay, Sunny to an extent. You know, Sunny's, you know, primarily the figurehead for Osmo. I don't really like having that kind of one leader. Like, I think the primary reason why Terra went to shit was because of Do Kwon. And, you know, his antics and his big head, primarily. So, like, I think you get yourself into a dangerous position when you have that. And, like, everyone knows, like, you know, Violatek is, like, the biggest holding of ETH. And it's, like, he's the figurehead of ETH. And it's, like, cool. So like if he says something dumb, the price just tanks like 400-500 bucks. Whereas, you know, our chains like Jack or Jay or whatever can get into like Twitter spats or, you know, just do whatever the hell they want, and like it doesn't negatively impact the chain because like they're not the single figurehead. Like there's a wider ecosystem and, you know, different thoughts and different people who kind of influence the overall chain rather than, you know, having kind of a guy that runs the show. So that's my thoughts.
I agree. I definitely agree, Rama. I think even though sometimes when some of the stuff gets public, it's people who are looking in from the outside, yeah, it can look a little messy. But I remember we were doing a Cosmos Spaces several months ago, and one of the guys who's been around for a long time, I can't remember his name right now. He's like, oh man, this is nothing. I think it was right when there was this Twitter spat going on. And he's like, man, this is nothing. Cosmos has been through so much more stuff than this. This will be forgotten in like 2 weeks, you know? So, and yeah, it is what it is. They're all sovereign level one chains. It's like Secret is its own chain. Stargaze is its own chain. They can do whatever they want, you know. It's different than the rest of the crypto world, you know.
Yeah, and like I think we kind of get caught up in the day-to-day kind of small drama type scenarios, and people kind of laugh onto those a little bit just because, and it's like in the grand scheme of things, like everything's doing pretty well. Like everyone's just chilling. We've got builders builder, and we've got, you know, people, you know, out there going to conferences, got people doing meetups, like, you know, the overall ecosystem just flows and functions so well that we can kind of get into the nitty gritty and focus on drama, because we're not always like paying attention to like what the next big thing is going to be, because like the teams are just working away and, you know, the platforms and apps just work.
So I have a question for you guys. What do you guys think about the whole Tornado Cash and USDC on Osmosis and all that? Like, so yeah.
I'm definitely pro privacy. I'm a privacy advocate. I believe everyone should be able to have a right to privacy and transact without the government knowing every single thing I buy. but then I think apps like that are going to have a big target on their back. And just some of the some of the comments from some of the politicians, it's like they have no clue as to what Tornado Cash actually was. It's like the guy, I mean, it's a software protocol. It's like the guy wrote a bunch of code and started running this protocol, but it's like that guy wasn't involved with it, you know? And I had heard that there might have been some type of arrest or something like that involved, but it's like no one was working for Tornado Cash. It's at least my understanding. I don't know that much about it, but I'm a big privacy advocate. I know they're thinking about doing something called Void within the ecosystem that is somewhat similar to being able to bring in some private transactions and stuff like that, or
in Osmosis, I think.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a complete mixer or what, but I mean, eventually, you know, there's gonna what Tornado Cash was. There's gonna be 10 of them. There's gonna be 10 of them, like in the next 6 months. You know.
Yeah, and also there's I don't know if I'm saying right, Nenobra. I can't say the word right. Like the new chain coming out, the privacy chain.
Penumbra, I think.
Yeah, Penumbra. Yeah, I can't say that word. Yeah. I'm pretty excited about them. It's like fully private, but it's just a private DEX. So that should be interesting.
Yeah, I'm interested in that one too. I think it sucks that they're going after Tornado Cash and stuff. I know the North Koreans were using it for like bridge hacks and stuff, but yeah, I agree with Mayor. I think privacy is super important. If crypto is going to be a future, we can't have it in its current state. I mean, if I sent you money, you would know every transaction I've ever made and how much money I have in my account. That's just not sustainable. So yeah, we'll definitely need privacy. I do need to look more into Secret Network. I'm definitely super underexposed in Secret. So I'd like to look into that.
Yeah, Secret is cool. I'm waiting for Secret to enable a Secret as Gaz. That would be dope.
Dude, the only thing, my only experience is, I just think like the user experience isn't the best on Secret, at least when I used it. I know, yeah, like bridging from Ethereum isn't easy. It's easy for coming from the Cosmos, but for ETH users, it's not easy. And then also just the transactions. I know since they've been improved, but during in the hype of the bull market, the transactions were a little bit congested.
Yeah, it used to be slow. Now it's a little bit better, but there seems to be more improvement. But it's getting there. It's getting there. One thing that I want to happen is because right now you have to use the Secret token. The one is public. To use the blockchain, I would like to have the S-Secret as a gas fee, so you're fully private.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah, because then the transaction could be private.
I wonder what the timeline is for that new DEX Penumbra. It's mainly a DEX, you said?
Yeah, it's a DEX. So the goal is for them to do DEX. It's like lending and borrowing and all that. That'll be interesting. But I don't know as that's gonna fly off in the whole regulation thing. But let's see.
it'd be competition for Osmosis too. Let's see. Jimmy wants to come up. Hey, Jimmy.
The otter is here. Oh, he's even got the new profile picture. He's got the named profile picture.
Hey, Jimmy, I am how's it going? Osmo soldier.
Yes, you are.
We got the good Jimmy or the bad Jimmy today, Jimmy.
Bad Jimmy.
Bad Jimmy's here. All right. Cover your ears.
We were talking Ethereum earlier, Jimmy, but now we're just kind of talking random Cosmos stuff.
I just think the price rise is interesting, you know.
On Ethereum right now?
Yeah, I mean, it could continue to go up, but my guess is, because I guess for a lot of people, ETH is now an investable asset, right? It's like a 2022-era investable asset. It has nothing to do with technology anymore, to be honest. I'm also fascinated that so many of the roll-ups haven't done so well. Most of the roll-ups are basically haven't moved that much, to be honest, either.
Yeah, we were saying short-term predictions could be like 2400 on Ethereum up to the merge, and then after the merge, it's who knows. You know, some people are saying buy the rumor, sell the news, and but then other people are like it's going to become more deflationary, less supply. So it's
it may or may not in the long term, but you know, something that is interesting is it is unclear to me whether the strategy is to run up the price in the belief that they know people have to buy it to stake it to run the network. So, you know, you go to a store and you buy up all the crayons, knowing that there's going to be an art lesson where, but it does require holding it for a little bit though. It should also be said that these unit tokenomics never existed in BTC. BTC never really had these issues. There was never a real reason to own BTC beyond the inflationary and digital gold arguments. And for some reason, Ethereum is now like, you got 30 reasons to buy Ethereum. So it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Hey, Jimmy, I kind of want to get your thoughts on Juno. Like, have you paid much attention?
Yeah, I'm a dev for one of the Juno projects, to be honest. And in my DMs, I get a lot of Juno questions as well. And sometimes some people go too far and ask way too many motherfucking questions. Like, I got this one guy who's like asked me, he said, can I ask you a question? I said, oh, sure. I answer one question. He asks me another question. I answer one question. Then all of a sudden he asks me like five questions. So, yeah.
Yeah, but overall, in general, like, I know it, Juno's can be, I mean, they're doing all the sub-DAO stuff and all that. It just seems like it's it needs better. I mean, it's just one of the weakness. I don't want to call it a weakness. One of the flaws I see is there's just not enough coordination. I don't know. That might not be a good way to explain it, but it's, I don't know.
I'm not sure what that question is then.
It just seems like there could be better. They did get a lot of the Terra projects to come over. There was some good speed and motivation on that. I guess my question is can they execute and like the they went from core one to core two, and now it's what is it? C root is the core team or whatever. It's just, I don't know. It's just hard for me to keep track of it. Just to know.
I think it's about a year old, right? And we had the initial launch and the initial kind of upgrades and stuff where that was primarily developed and ran by core one, which makes sense. You know, they built the chain, they have to be involved in like the early stage development. I know that there's still a bunch of development going on currently in the background. Having the sub DAOs kind of manage a lot more of this going forward is probably why we're not seeing as much kind of core input or influence like publicly, because, you know, a lot of this stuff is onboarding teams and developing and assisting with their development to kind of bring them in. A lot of that's being managed by the sub DAOs now, right? So I think what we're seeing is like a transition from standing up the chain and the core one, you know, involvement to now kind of decentralizing those roles and responsibilities and really scaling Juno into the future. So we're not going to have, you know, those kind of core three or four people. We're now going to have, you know, 5-10 sub DAOs that are managed by 3-4 individuals. I would assume 3-5 probably makes more sense. That'll be kind of managing, you know, certain roles and areas of the chain.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I explained this before, like marketing, security, hack Juno, etc. So I think that makes more sense, and it really enables Juno to scale. So we're probably going to see, you know, less direct communications and probably more, you know, sub-DAO type communications going forward.
I have no idea what the fuck that guy just said.
You don't know what sub-DAOs are?
It was the whole...
I know what they are, but I think you just spoke total nonsense the last 45 seconds.
Well, no, he was talking about Core One. Juno is still under a year old, so it was Core One was getting the change.
I just don't think it really matters that much. I mean, you see how a successful layer does it. It goes beyond the projects. It goes to the integrations, the infrastructure.
Agreed. Yes. Yeah, I agree, Jimmy. And it just seems like I don't know. Juno has a lot of promise. I just feel like there needs to be more. They did the DAO launch, and they're doing the sub DAOs. So agree with Rama, what Rama was saying. It's like they're delegating the responsibilities to the sub DAOs to keep the forward motion, things moving. It's just like there's...
I just don't think any of that really matters, to be honest.
What about JunoSwap and just the raw token? Nothing's happening there. And it just seems like it's kind of gotten left on the sidelines. Like, you know, I mean, there's plenty of DEXs to go around. There's no point in focusing a lot of dev time and development.
You need a lot of good business development people, guys. That's just how it works. And yeah. June doesn't happen.
Exactly.
You know, we live in a world where you can have a lot of devs, right? I'd consider myself an okay dev, like average. I won't be able to get 10,000 more users to Juno. All I can do is make the UI look nicer and the back end to run smoother.
Yeah, that's what devs do, right? Tweak and upgrade here and there.
I want people to make great visualization videos, contact influencers of actual influence, get those Twitter spaces going, increase customer engagement. Make sure that user experience continues to evolve according to feedback. Bring new projects in, add integrations. These are all important business development things.
And that is an area of need. Yes, business development. Yes.
That's like literally Kevin from Oni's role as part of like the marketing DAO that's being formed, which is why I spoke about the sub-DAOs that are being developed.
Don't do this whole marketing DAO bullshit thing, guys. You know,
that's your
don't
opinion, expect.
Well, I'd rather have my opinion than your opinion. All right? That's why I'm saying it. How smart of you to say that? No, how brilliant of you to point that out, that I have an opinion. Great job. It must have been really hard to figure out that I just said that and it's my own opinion. Of all the arguments you make, that is one of the most brilliant arguments. Well, what a great
thing
to do.
Appreciate it. It's a really good feedback. I love it.
Play nice. Play nice.
But, you know, this idea of having a DAO that will lead to more marketing by saying it's a marketing DAO, it's just not how it works. You need to have, you have to assign agencies. You have to work with contractors. You have to go to events. You have to do the biz. It is a competitive world out there. And compensation will be reliant on metrics. This is not something a DAO can do. I'm not big on DAOs when it comes to actually increasing something. I'm big on DAOs if it's a way of building a community. I'm big on DAOs as a gimmick to increase business development.
Yeah, well, good point. That's definitely a good point. Yeah,
better point than the other guy. Your point, Prama, suck ass all the time.
Easy. I see that everyone's just like, oh, we'll start up a DAO. We got a DAO for that and all that stuff. It's like, oh my gosh. Like, I guess if you have a DAO with three people, you might be able to get something done at a somewhat of a quick.
I think there's a pretty big difference in like the DAO that I was talking about with marketing, which is like, you know, responsible for the financial management of marketing within the Juno ecosystem. Is very different to like a community DAO. They actually have like delegation rights to spend money on the things that Jimmy was talking about when he was saying that it was a completely useless idea.
Maybe we could get...
Well, there are projects that have decentralized operations. But at the same time, for a new chain, I believe, especially right now, how competitive it is, you definitely need some dedicated core team members to be very good at managing and basically sprint forward to get those metrics and focusing more on the organizational aspects of how you run things rather than actually doing it, I think is kind of a misnomer.
Cool. Anybody else have any questions or want to come up? It's kind of like open mic right now. We're talking Juno right now, but
I'm going to call out Larry Binance Jr. I got to call him out. Yeah, some really crazy tweets going on there, Larry.
Larry was up earlier, or he was speaking earlier. We were talking trading and ETH and stuff like that. But
he says he wants to short Adam. Yeah, go over to his profile. That's what
He closed it. It's been closed. The position has been
closed. Well, he didn't post that, did he? He just said he just made a tweet, and he never made another tweet saying he closed it.
Well, it was announced that the short has been closed.
Anyone who shorts Adam in my book doesn't love Adam.
I agree. I'm yeah.
I'm here for the tech. You know, the honest truth is the majority of people have lost money in crypto, like at least 90%, I would say, because they're focused on ideas of being right. The market says something, you know. It's all about the technology, and whether or not the technology makes you money, you just don't know sometimes. You have no idea. There is not a single stock that has IPO'd in the last 20 years where if you invest in it because you believe that they're going to increase their EBITDA in the next 10 years, that you would have made a lot of money. You know, those great stocks like Amazon, which are up, I believe, 30x, never actually made a significant profit until recently. You just have to really believe that they have a great edge somewhere. And shorting Amazon along the way reminds me of this guy who made an Apple hedge fund. It only buys and sells Apple because he was an Apple expert. So as soon as he got his hedge fund going, he started shorting Apple because he believed that the announcements were going to be bad. He became myopic. He used his own expertise to confuse himself about how investment theses are created. Naturally, Apple stock went up. His short turned out very badly. Then he started going long Apple. Got that one wrong too a couple quarters later. And so he closed his fund. Guys, shorting, longing, this is a stock market thing. You're not FTX. FTX uses market manipulation and insider trading to make money. It does not use investment theses to make money. It uses the worst of the worst things. You are not FTX. Binance. And I see he left. He left because he's scared. He's afraid of the truth.
I don't know, man. Maybe he just likes to tweet when he trades. Is there anything wrong with that?
Yeah, I think you cannot come to this community and talk about how much you appreciate and support Cosmos while telling people to sell Cosmos or to short Cosmos as an investment recommendation.
People sell it all the time. What's the problem?
I think that those people are, unless they have real life needs for liquidity, are not Cosmos supporters.
I would suggest that anytime anyone wants to sell any token for whatever desire, to do it.
Well, that's the difference between you and me. I actually believe in something and have made a lot of money in this space because I only believe in the technology. The money comes second. And you believe in gaining followers, yeah, to be honest.
You're talking to a Cosmos soldier, Rama, and the soldiers, they don't like to trade. It's more...
It's, you know, about- I believe this. Making money in crypto is like owning land. I know a lot of people who've owned a lot of land through the generations, but they've never sold it. So when you never sell land that's worth a lot of money, because, you know, some areas become very developed, you're still poor, cash poor. You own a lot of land, you are fucking rich. You get to look around a place and see how much it's worth. You can lease it out from time to time. Sure. Like, leasing is kind of like staking, you know? Especially if you look at the investment yields, like kind of similar to staking. But you don't have a lot of money in the bank. You're not buying new things, right? and you're not going to leverage yourself anytime soon either. So yeah, buying and selling, for me, anyone can sell land, but it goes against the thesis of owning land, which is that by owning land, you're owning the future. That's the same that can be said of Cosmos. You don't sell the future.
There we go. There's two different ways to...
I'm calling you out, Prama. I demand a debate. You versus me. And this
I'm
debate
not going to expose myself to that. For
the winner of thousands of people who will know the truth, which is that you are not a soldier. Never were a soldier.
Thanks, Jimmy. And on that note, I'm going to be a dad for the rest of the day and go out for lunch with my family and enjoy my weekend and keep up the good fight, Jimmy. And see you at $160 per one Atom token. Let's go.
I bet you believe that you're starting to sell Atom tokens.
I hold very little Atom tokens, brother.
Shame on you.
I don't see the point.
Shame on you.
All right. Well, hey, enjoy your evening, Rama.
Don't enjoy it. Don't tell that guy to enjoy anything. He owns very little Atom tokens.
It does. It's okay. It's okay, Jimmy. It's okay. He can own whatever tokens he wants. If he wants to own star tokens, or if he wants to
own... He's the kind of guy who buys coconut-flavored chocolate and thinks it tastes great.
I don't care what he buys. It's okay. He can buy Cardano. It doesn't matter to me.
Hey, man, if you want to buy Cardano, and if you hold it, and you've been holding it for a while, you've made a lot of money. And you know what? I actually believe Cardano is going to be here to stay. Mostly because the people who own it just don't want to sell it, right? And yeah, to be honest, they've been very good with business development. They have a really strong business development side. Now, do I like their business development side? I know some of them personally. Some of them are kind of stupid, to be honest. But for the most part, they have a lot of business development people located all over the world, and they're always bringing in new things to show the community of progress. That's really great. You know, so say what you want about Cardano, but they have been able to successfully navigate how to maintain its relevance in Web3, which is hard, super hard.
I agree.
You Anybody? Always agree. Too much agreeing. You never disagree.
Jimmy, that's because I'm the mayor. I agree with everybody. I wish I would have got into Cardano like when it was 10 cents. It was
3 cents for like 4 years, dude.
Yes, it was. Yes. I was not into crypto back that far back. I think I got into crypto when it was like 30 cents.
Well, about 90% of blockchains right now are below its ICO price. So, you know, you can always get into it now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
You know, like Celo's at its ICO price, and then Harmony's at its ICO price, which I wouldn't invest in. It's a shit game, but some of these roll-ups are at their ICO price. It's quite a few, actually. It's quite a few at their ICO price. Kusama, look at Kusama, man. It's crazy.
Talk to me about Kusama.
Kusama. There you go.
You've got Polkadot.
Yeah.
You've got Kusama, which was the beta chain, and more stuff got built on Kusama than Polkadot. Is that pretty?
Yeah, it's true. I think it's because it was a lot easier to wear a parachain there. I also think that Polkadot, looking at the top, I would agree with that to an extent. A lot of the Terra projects could have moved over to Moonbeam and to Kala, but the business development side was not strong enough. You know, they weren't able. They were contacting Polkadot itself, asked if they should move. And Polkadot, the core team, said we don't get involved. You know, contact Moonbeam, contact the parachains. So I would agree with you. I mean, you know, Polkadot has directional issues. It's a great idea. It's a great way of doing things. But when you actually meet the Polkadot core team members, they're just there to to basically build out the infrastructure. They're not there to focus on increasing the ecosystem anymore. That's a huge problem. Kusama, you know, the thing about Kusama is some of the projects on Kusama, they are pretty undervalued if you look at what they've accomplished. Now, whether or not they're ever going to grow again is another question. But I think they're worth like $500 million right now, which is the same as very, very small chains that haven't accomplished anything. And, is it worth $2 billion or $3 billion? I don't know. But you have to admit the technology for Polkadot and Kusama, it's quite strong, right? They have their own language. They have EVMs. They have rollups. They have infrastructure chain link integrations. They have quite a lot, you know? It's just coordination and lack of business development stuff that's really holding them back. And that's always really the issue for some of these things. VeChain will always be able to relax on the fact that it has that Walmart partnership. That is the reason why it's worth any money. It has four developers.
VeChain only has four developers? Wow.
Yeah, only four developers. And that's not really uncommon to an extent. There are a lot of big layer ones that have like three or four developers too, actually. Yeah. But they have like 10 business development people too.
And so Kusama is sitting around $60 right now, but it's been bouncing back and forth in this range for a couple months, it looks like.
Yeah, it's complicated, man. I mean, there's no good news that will be coming about that ecosystem the next, 2 years, something like that. It's not going to have a merge situation. It's not going to have a massive halving event. It's not going to, change and increase rewards. It's there's nothing going on there in terms of the tokenomics.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah, because you hear about a lot of the influencers and YouTubers always talking Kusama. It's all a lot of them talk about, and it's just like, okay.
Sure, a lot of them probably own some Kusama.
Yeah.
Kusama is like the token that you own if you were involved, if you're super OG. Polkadot and Kusama that just haven't pumped a lot, Kusama's an old token, 2017. There aren't many tokens worth so little that are so old and still in existence. Look at Tron. Say what you want about Tron, dude. Still worth $6 billion.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear there's a lot of activity that in Asia. Asia, they use a lot of Tron over there.
The dollar Tron? Yeah. USD Tron. Yeah. That's a pretty, I think the reason why it's so common is because, even though BEP20 is now cheaper than Tron, it was more expensive before. It's because, Tron works on Atom wallet, and it works on a lot of smaller wallets.
Mm-hmm.
Also, some people can't access Binance. Yeah,
they're just flipping Tron or using Tron for transactions. And yeah, it's interesting. We'll see what happens. I don't know. Polkadot. I don't know if you can see the post above.
I saw it.
Yeah. They're one of the Polkadot devs.
They're not wrong.
Do what?
They're not wrong. You need to have a large number of people if you want to compete. A lot of chains don't have that. Unless you have some strong partnerships.
Business development.
I would actually say Ava Labs probably has more than 150 employees. I know some Ava Labs people who don't list stuff on LinkedIn, mm-hmm. Because they don't need to. They don't want to get contacted by recruiters and stuff, and they just don't care. I would say Ava Labs has probably about 300 or 400 people working on it, to be honest. It's a very large project by now, a very large company. Cardano has about... IOG and Cardano has about 200, something like that, too. It's a large number of people. The largest number of people who work on a project would probably be XRP. They have, 600, 700 people, for a lot of reasons. Polygon has a lot of people, huge number of business development people. They have at least 500 people as well. Then I guess, when you go down the list, then it really starts dropping off pretty quickly, very, very fast. You start to see, you know, for example, you know, Near Protocol's got maybe 50. Nexalem's got maybe 50. Monero's got like 10 guys. And then it really starts dropping off really fast.
Yeah.
You know, for example, Phantom Foundation has about 20. You know, Thorchain has about 20. Maybe less, actually. I don't know how many of them are actually just contractors. Stax has about 20, 25, pretty small. Zilliqa has about 20, 25.
Yeah, you could drop. You said Polygon. You can tell they have a lot of
very large, incredibly large.
Yeah, they're always making, announcing some deal or trying to.
Well, they also have a Oracle service called Polygon Labs IO, where they do a lot of data feeds too. So they're actually super big on data feeds. So that's really driving a lot of work and revenue. Then they have, you know, their own investment fund, and then they have their community stuff, and then they have cross partnerships where they've also, you know very well, they bought rollups. So if you consider the rollups to be part of Polygon, they got massive rollups that they, I guess, own.
Mm-hmm.
That those are all people too. You know, there are dozens of people per rollup. So
yeah, they bought it. They bought out a small rollup. I forget what it was called.
Yeah, they did. Not the only one. They bought some other ones too. Yeah. They bought the team and stuff, and they brought them over.
So we'll do a speed round, Jimmy. Polygon, buy, sell, or hold.
What the fuck's wrong with you?
I want to know what you think.
I made my position on crypto very clear. I don't believe in this whole buy, sell, or hold thing.
I know you're in it for the tech, Jimmy. I know.
Yeah, I mean, Polygon, you have to admit, they've accomplished. It's a very surprising thing, you know. You would think that these people would have no way of competing, but at the same time, they've decided that if you just buy the teams out and add them, if you're a good manager, you don't have to have a revolutionary way of managing crypto. Whatever is popular, you get there. It's like presented a problem, they'll figure it out, right? So if layer twos, they said, okay, we're not going to make a new layer two rollup solution, right? We're just going to buy a smaller layer two. And
exactly, yeah.
You know, that we're not going to do sharding. We're not going to do slashing. We're not going to do this and that. If there's a need, we'll figure it out, probably buy a team and then add them and then manage how that will work in terms of the transition. You know?
I mean, that's a way a lot of corporations, they'll just buy up the smaller guys, right? I mean, that's how.
They've never attempted to say that they're decentralized. They've never attempted to make DAOs.
Exactly.
They just build, they just add, they just get bigger. You know, so, hey man, if that's how they want to do their direction, Godspeed to them.
Cool. All right, cool. We got another speaker up. Homestead, how you doing?
What's up, Mayor?
Hey, man. Not much.
We're just background noise. I got like fans on and, you know, so.
That's okay.
Let me know if I'm in a bad spot in the house for the sound.
No, that's okay. We're just doing a lot of different topics. We were talking Ethereum 2.0 earlier, talking about a little bit of Cosmos. We had a Cosmos short in here earlier. We kicked him out.
How long you been talking, man?
Do what?
How long you been talking?
I've had this up and running for about an hour, a little bit over now.
Oh, cool. I was just about to share it when you cued me, so I was like switching back and forth, you know.
You were about to what? To
share it via, you know, share a tweet, share the spaces. So and then you were queuing me. I was typing, and I didn't want to be rude, so I switched back, and now I still got that lingering over there. You know.
Okay.
So how's everyone tonight?
Yeah, man, doing well. I mean, I don't know how much longer I want to keep this going. It's been going for over about an hour and 20 minutes. But yeah, I just wanted to open it up.
You know, reason why you don't have a lot of people in the space, Mayor, is because you don't have enough drama.
Jimmy, I was wondering if we had the nice Jimmy and the thoughtful Jimmy, or the one that was going to point out other people's shortcomings. Mayor doesn't need drama, man. He gets all the people in here.
It's just a chill night. I don't need a bunch of drama right now, Jimmy. But
yeah, dude. Mayor never needs drama in his chat spaces. That's why it's always nice to come in. You know?
Yeah, I saw a couple of the other guys were in here earlier. I don't think they were gonna we were gonna do anything big for Cosmos. We were originally talking Ethereum 2.0. That's kind of what got it kicked off. I was wanting to see if I could get some ETH people in here to talk some Ethereum, but all we got, you know.
All those old fashioned ETH people, by the way, you'll never see them in Twitter spaces. They've made so much money. They probably have they don't care.
You've always been quick to point that out too, Jimmy. And I do appreciate sometimes your take on that. Like I've heard you talk about like some of those Ethereum whales and the people who bought Ethereum at like $30 or $40 and
the way 2016, like, the 2016, yeah. I was in
laugh about the gas, like the way people complain about gas, and you're like, those people really don't care. They're always gonna be doing these games, like,
well, you have that kind of personality, right?
Cool, you know, perspective.
Like, you know, most of these people who are widows, by now they're married, right? And by now they have a house. Ethereum for them is something that came from the clouds, and they didn't make it rain, but they got rained on, and they're happy, right? So they're the ones dancing as the fields grow. They're making all this money work for them because they're not doing anything. And in 2016. They were buying ETH because they thought that Vitalik was a nerdy guy who would make them some money. And crypto is good because they can make some money. And their personalities are people who just don't care that much. I've never met an ETH whale who really... They're not Bitcoin whales, right? They don't care about inflation, decentralization. They don't care about government. They don't care about anything. They just... If they can, they'll go to Pattaya, Phuket, Bali to chill with their wife and kids. That's what they care about. So these people really don't show up to Twitter spaces. They have no reason. They're not going to talk about anything. They'll maybe talk about some NFTs that they like. They're just completely different from Bitcoin whales.
Yeah, like I was saying, Jimmy, like sometimes I love how the way you can bring that perspective to these Cosmos spaces. So, you know.
Can you start behaving like a man? Start creating problems. Can you start doing this, please?
Me?
Yes.
We need some conflict. We need some conflict.
You don't know what projects I work with, do you?
All right. Yeah, let's...
My honor will beat your cat ass anytime, any day of the week.
Dude, Jimmy, I love when you're in spaces and you give us the real talk. You're totally misunderstanding me, bud.
It's my intention to do that, yes.
I know.
Yeah, so.
I have met, though, some other whales. I've met B&B whales. That was always fascinating. You know, Cardano whales are very funny people because, so they're really old people in general, and they've owned it for such a long time. And most of them have used Cardano to renovate their house. But most of them also don't understand how Cardano works, right? But B&B whales are fascinating. You know, they own B&B because they really like CZ, and they haven't sold any B&B because they think that CZ is so smart. And they never go to spaces as well. I mean, being a B&B whale, this is the fastest... They've made money faster than anyone in history. If you own $10,000 worth of B&B in 2019, you have $40 million now. So, you know, it's crazy.
The money that was made from 2019 to 2021,
22. Well, I'm also in a lot of Telegram groups of Luna whales who got wrecked, and they're all quiet now. Yeah, Luna whales were the nicest, kindest people I've ever met in my life. They were always super helpful, super supportive.
Dude, they still are.
Yeah, sure. Of course.
And they got crushed, right? Yeah.
They got crushed. Yeah. They you know, for a lot of them also are business owners I've met. Most of them had stuff going on the side anyway. None of them were reliant on it. But what got them wrecked was putting their savings in UST. That's what really got them wrecked as well. I mean, I know people who've lost $20 million on Luna. No joke. You know, they had $20 million, $30 million worth of paper profit in Luna. And then they sold at a 90% loss, you know. And, you know, so, you know, they're very, after all this happened, they're still, you know, chugging along. They're not really involved a lot in Web3, to be honest. Most of these Luna people, Luna was a one-off thing for them. A lot of them also own Metaverse Land as well. I've noticed that. They also got wrecked there too. But Luna whales are just very unique. I don't know why every type of whale is so different from each other, but I think it's because of the time that they bought it and the way the project's developed. It probably has something to do with that.
Usually you have to really love something to become a whale, right, Jimmy? And so for someone to feel that strongly, there's something about it that speaks to them, right? And so that's what you're talking about right there.
It must be said, Luna, the ecosystem had a lot of funding. Yeah, a lot of the Luna projects were funded by the whales, which is quite unique. I would say probably the most, the weirdest, I guess, whale community are probably the Tron whales. I mean, they do exist. They're mostly in Asia. And, you know, it's still worth $6 billion, guys. I mean, it's really hasn't lost that much market cap, right? I can't think of many other whale communities off the top of my head that I've met, you know, constantly meet, constantly see where they're looking for new projects to invest in within that ecosystem. They're only going to invest in projects in the ecosystem. But when you mean a whale, it means someone who, when they talk about investing, they mean using their coin to invest in projects for that ecosystem. It's not to send it somewhere else. And, you know, it's a fascinating thing to see how these people have lost so much money in some cases.
And on that note, Cardano is making a nice little move tonight. And
yeah. Again, they haven't lost that much. It's only down 50% from the $1 mark, where it was at $1 for like 8 months in 2021.
Yep. Interesting. All right. Well, we might shut this down here in a little bit.
You going to shut down, Mayor?
Yeah. I mean, I can go for about another.
I'm going to launch the after hours, though, if anybody wants to jump into a different space. Or, you know,
no one wants to jump into space with you, Homestead.
Huh?
No one wants to jump into spaces with you, dude.
Well, we'll find out.
I know that. Don't worry.
He'll find out, I guess.
People there and whatever. But, you know.
The reason is because you don't.
You know what, Jimmy? Most people know Homestead doesn't care what people think about them, right? So.
I think... I think Homestead might have a validator party and just have all the validators show up and just
hate on me.
Yeah, well, or you know, not all of them.
It's all my fault, right?
Not all of them, Homestead. Not all of them.
Anyways.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Mayor, if you need a break or whatever, I can launch another one for a late night after hours. And
I might
pop into it if you want, you know?
I might pop
in. You know, I have met a polka dot whale. My only time I ever met a polka dot whale, not one. And he was using his Polkadot to buy the most inane NFTs I've ever heard of in my life. $30,000 worth of NFTs back in the bull market. And now this guy is not so happy. Don't be like that guy.
Don't be like that guy. Good. That's good advice. Good advice from Jimmy. All right, guys. Thank you, Jimmy, for stopping by. Appreciate it.
I hate every single one of you.
Jimmy, we love you, Jimmy. Love. Love wins. Love. Wins. We're going to work on that otter heart, Jimmy. We're going to work on it. All right. With that note, peace out, everyone. Enjoy. Hop on over to the after hours and take care.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was about the last hour or so of the Cosmos Late Night Whispers, hosted by Mayor Ed Dantes. Recorded on Saturday, August 13th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Digging in the dirt, trying to find the treasure. Learning how to mix this business with pleasure. I'm kicking a lecture, spitting conjecture. High as a bird while I'm flipping the gesture. Living like a jester, investing these extras. Dissecting a mess, a eagle looking headstrong. Infinitesimal, the spitting is next world. And if you don't agree, well then I'm afraid you're dead wrong. So leave the mess hall and clean your plates up. I can't believe the rest of y'all feed on makeup. Bereavement breakup to rearrange your wake up. Big ol' bloody mess like a scene from Braveheart. Driving race cars that beat the fate. It's hard to meet your maker when the features ain't marked. Trying to slide underneath the paywall. I'm afraid this motherfucker's gone AWOL.
You had best unfuck yourself or I will unscrew your head and kick down your neck.
Sir, yes sir.
Private Joker, why did you join my beloved cult?
Sir, to kill sir.
No, you're a killer.
Sir, yes sir.
Let me see your war face.
Sir,
you got a war face? Ah, that's a war face. Now let me see your war face.
On the earth trying to mine some headspace. Give a little gift like I'm lifted dead weights. The risk of resting kicks the nest egg. Square in the nuts, y'all feel intestate. The breeze swept in, no need of resting. The least depressing, so sweet but messy. I need the best day to keep professing and hope my body doesn't leave behind a red stain. Pouring out lil' liquor for the dead states while the rest wait and bleed domestic. No means to gestate, breeds the best cake. Beauty on the back of the queen she just date. So take a little dive down a K-hole while I flip the B-roll right into A-roll and make the payroll go a little further. Replace the merger with the tainted version.
Get on your feet!
Terra Spaces.